to this month's Minisode, Minisode 35 for the month of November in the year of our Lord 2020. I am Tab Burt, and with me today is nobody, because Tim is a wimpy baby being sick and recording on a Sunday in the middle of the afternoon, so Todd's also not here. So we're going to do a little bit of a different format, and I have four mini issues for all of you today. Because we've promised you this content, we're going to deliver. I will deliver to you no matter come hell or high water. But it's not going to be the discussion. Normally, it's going to be more of a monologue. So let us know, comment on this episode once you listen to it. If you like this, if you don't like it, if you just couldn't make it through it. Either way, I'm interested to hear feedback on what people think of this solo episode. You know, the Minisode started out when Buck and I were doing the show, and I had the idea for the Minisode, and it was that we would do an episode where the $5 tier got video and the $1 tier got a bonus episode every month. And my idea on it was that people would list would see what they could get and decide to go ahead and upgrade their pledges, and that didn't, I don't know if that worked out or not, but it started out as that, and then it just became like a shortened version of the show that we gave to the $1 tier, and we would give to, you know, whomever was pledging, where we kind of like do these things that are where I couldn't talk, we couldn't talk about them for 15 to 20 minutes on the show, but we could talk about them for like five minutes each, and you'd end up with an episode that was 30 minutes long, and then we'd push that out to you guys, and people could enjoy it, and it wouldn't be part of like the greater list of all of our little issues, but it was those things like you really want to complain about. I feel, to me, the mini issues are almost more important to me because they're the grit in my shoe of life that I... that just like bugs the shit out of me, and you feel really petty about it. You feel really petty for being bugged by such a minuscule and unimportant aspect of life. So, but you're right. Like, no one can tell you not to be pissed off about this stuff because the little things are what make the big things really, really annoy you. It's your whole life is filled with these little minuscule grains of sand in your shoe all day long so that when you go to McDonald's and they can't get your fucking simple order right, instead give you two drinks for some goddamn reason, you're just like, what the fuck is the matter with you people? But if you didn't have those little grains of sand in your shoe, you'd just be like, ah, well, you know. They're a fast food worker. They don't make $15 an hour. I don't care that much. But I've spent all goddamn day dealing with this bullshit. So now my temper is at an all-time high. I'm at my wit's end with everyone that's around me. And that's life. That is life. So the mini issues, the mini-sodes to me are just as important, if not more important, than our big issues. And, well, why don't we jump right into some of these mini issues. I had to do four of them this time instead of the normal two. So I hope you enjoy them. Here's my first mini issue this month. Here's what I, God damn it. Here's what I don't mini get. Clicked the wrong thing. People who don't take tending the fire seriously. I don't know about you guys, but here in Oklahoma, we have several places, several bars that you can go to. And they have a fireplace or fire pits, right? And there's only one set of fire tools. And everyone knows what the fire tool is. That's the big poke. You know, it's a pokey piece of metal that also has a hook. So you can kind of adjust the logs a little bit. And for those of you that don't tend to fires regularly, the idea is to get the fire as close together to have the max amount of heat, but also have enough gaps that air can get through so that the fire can really like get going. A lot of people will just bury their coals with logs and then they get these like smoky smoldering fires that don't generate any heat and you can't cook on them. And they're just like, well, I don't know what I did wrong. Like, well, you fucking started trying to get a log going. You can't, that's the first part of tending the fire that's wrong. You cannot start with a log. You start with, for those of you who don't build fires, here's a quick primer in building fires. When you're in the woods and you're hiking, on your, as you get close to ready to camp for the day, you start grabbing thin twigs, thin as about the size of a matchstick to about the size of your pinky finger. And you get about a handful of those. And if you're with a group of people, if everyone has a handful of those, you have a really, really good start to your fire. And then, in the other hand, you start grabbing sticks that are from the size of your pinky to the size of your forearm. You're not getting into logs yet, but you're getting into like bigger sticks that, so the really thin stuff is going to catch and burn very quickly. And the idea is to get that thin stuff to catch the thicker stuff. So then you can start piling on logs. So you go over and someone's got some logs and some lighter fluid. They're never going to get a fire that works. They're going to be constantly having to like add lighter fluid to that. Ideally, you should not have to add lighter fluid to a fire ever, ever in your life. Never need to add lighter fluid to a fire. You need lighter fluid for lighting charcoal. Don't need it for a real fire. So then there's a bunch of different ways you can start the fire. Personally, I like the A-frame, where you take some of your two of your thicker bits of wood and a third middle thinness level of wood. You dig a really small depression into the ground and you make the shape of an A with your two, with your three mid-size pieces of stick. And then you take all your real thin stuff and you pile it from thinnest to thickest on the center point of the A. So you've got a pile of real thin stuff in the hole of the A. And you take your match and you put it underneath the horizontal member of the A and you light up all that thin stuff and it's going to fucking go real quick. And then you start piling on the thicker and thicker sticks until everything starts to catch. And then you have a fire and then you add logs and then you can make build that fire into whatever shape you want based on what you're trying to do with it. So what drives me nuts is I go to these bars and you get a guy who wants to hold the tool, but he doesn't want to do anything with the fire. He's just like, yeah, I got my beer and I got my stick. And I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to kind of poke at this. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's not like maneuvering the logs. I like to roll the logs so that I can burn the logs more evenly. I like to make sure I've got lots of air. Whenever I add a new log, I like to lean in and give it a good breath of air so that I can make all the coals that have formed on the logs flames again so that they can push the moisture out of the new log and let it catch. But the guys, you'll go out and you'll be with the guy that won't do it. Now, I also personally have a rule. I don't tell people how to make fires. It's emasculating. And it drives me personally crazy. As someone who knows how to make fire happen, whenever I'm like working on a fire and someone's got to be like standing there, they're always, here's the thing about like camping fires, right? You're always making the fire. You're on your hands and knees in the fucking dirt. And there's always someone who's standing there full height, just looking down at you being like, you want some lighter fluid to throw on that? No, I don't want any lighter fluid because I don't want like my fucking fire to smell like lighter fluid. Can you just mind your own fucking business for 5 minutes? Like, wander off over there. I'll make the fire happen, and you can come back when there's fire and pretend like you did something. I don't care if you pretend, but I hate when fucking people tell, oh, you gonna add some logs to that? No, I'm not going to add any logs to it because we're cooking on this fire and you don't cook in flames. You cook on coals. So shut the fuck up and prep the fucking food. So I don't like to do that when I'm out with someone. I don't want to criticize them on the fire, but the second that fire tender chair comes open, man, I'm sitting in it and I'm getting that motherfucker roaring. I used to work at this barbecue restaurant when I was in high school. And on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, we did ashes. And our smoker was, it had two big doors that opened up and there was a giant rotisserie with all these racks that's where you put the meat on. And then to the side of that was a smaller cast iron door. And that's where the natural gas came in and we added in hickory logs to get the smoke to cook the food. So a couple times a week, you had to open that up, shovel out all the ashes into a aluminum trash can, and then add new fresh logs so that it just didn't bog up, and then you'd have to clean everything. It was a huge mess. It was one of the worst aspects of that job. But my favorite part of doing ashes was I would cram that motherfucking firebox full of logs. I'd have like 6 or 7 logs in there, and it would just be like, it would be going. You would have embers flying out the top of the firebox and into the smoker box, which the bottom of is filled with grease. So there's a real risk of setting that shit on fire. Which I found out when I accidentally set some of it on fire. And then I was told by the manager, like, hey, when you do ashes, 3 logs, that's it. No more than 3 logs. And I was like, oh, I thought like you really wanted to get the fire going again. I knew you weren't supposed to do a bunch of logs, but I like doing a lot of logs. That was the other thing about working there. So, I started out and I worked in, you started out as the guy in the back, and the guy in the back put all the meat on the smoker, pulled all the meat off the smoker, washed the dishes. And then you'd move up to sides where you would, every order that came through, you'd look at the list of what's on there and you'd get the sides ready, baked beans or potato salad, or coleslaw, whatever. And then not always, but in my case, you moved up to the cutter, who was the manager of the shift and cut all the meat for the orders, and also had to keep track of all the meat in the bins, everything that was, and make sure and know how to gauge like how much we're supposed to have at any given time, so that you're telling the person cooking in the back how, when to put on stuff. Like if we're going to run out of smoked bologna takes 2 hours to cook. I know that we have rushes that start about 7 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock now. We got to put on a bologna. That's what the cutter's keeping track of. So working in the back, you're also kind of keeping track of that to make sure that you are watching the back of your cutter to make sure he doesn't fuck up and not put on bologna when he's supposed to. So I worked in the back, and one of the things that I figured out was by jamming more logs in, I could get the heat up. I could cook stuff slightly faster, and I could shave, 15% off of the cook time of any given thing. Now, it didn't cook as well if you didn't cook it on the right racks, if you didn't cook it at the right temperatures, but sometimes you don't want to get yelled at, so you just do what you need to do. And so I would sometimes, like, I felt like Scotty down in the engine room where it's like, oh, we need some more bolognese, but we need them right away. And I'd be like, I'm giving her all she's got, Captain. And I'd have 7 logs in that motherfucking firebox setting the grease on fire. So anyway, I like fires. I like to do a lot with fire. And it drives me nuts when I go somewhere and the person who has self-declared themselves master of the fire is not, in fact, a master of the fire. Because especially so this time of year, there are a few bars that have these fire pits or fireplaces. There's a bar in downtown called Arnie's, which is a great bar. It's an Irish bar. They serve Guinness, they serve Jameson, and they serve it by the fucking truckload. And it's amazing. And they have a nice fireplace outside. And one of the best places to sit, especially this time of year, is right there next to the fire. Because number one, everyone smokes at Arnie's because it's a smoking allowed bar. So I don't wear my jacket in there. So it's really cold. But if you're sitting right next to the fire, you can get uncomfortably warm. And I love sitting next to the fire. I love getting that fire really roaring. So those of us that are sitting right there at the fireplace, we are nice and warm. But then the people that are sitting like a little ways away are like, hey, can you turn that down? No, I cannot. And we'll sit there and we'll drink and we'll shoot the shit and have a great time. And if you have a guy that doesn't tend the fire well, you get very cold very quickly. That's why if you're at a fire with me, you're going to not want to bring your coat because I'm going to make sure you're nice and warm. But yeah, people that don't know how to tend fires, like just give it up to the professionals. No one's going to think less of you for not being able to tend your own fire. So I guess that brings me into my second mini issue this month. This is hard doing all the talking. Usually I get to take pauses where I can like sniff and take a drink and it's not really a big deal. But since it's only me, there's nowhere to hide. So there's going to be a lot more editing on this. Here's what I don't mini get. Disturbing acoustics. So one of the things that I have learned living in my house is that I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if it's my windows or what. My house is all stone, but my windows kind of suck. And so do my doors, I figured out when I was coming out to the studio today. My back door is kind of bowed in. So the wind was blowing and it was just shooting right in the back door, which kind of sucks because it's kind of cold outside. So I'm going to have to do something about that. Like buy a new weather stripping seal for the back door. But it's all bowed. I probably just end up going to Home Depot or Lowe's and going to the weather stripping section and just buying everything that they have and seeing what I can make work. But anyhow, one of the things that's weird is there will be people outside across the street. You know, yesterday, I think it was, a guy was building something. He's hammering. But for whatever reason, it sounds like it's coming from right on my fucking front porch. So I'm sitting watching TV and I hear this fucking hammering noise and I get up. I'm like, is someone on my front porch? And then I'm real freaked out. Someone's going to come up my front porch. My yard is completely fenced all the way around. So in order to come and go, you have to walk through gates. And of course, gates creak. But I'll hear creaks that come from other stuff. Sounds like it's right outside my house. Sounds like someone's coming up my gate. I don't know why someone would be coming up my gate. But my first thought is, I need my gun so that I can shoot one of these fucking people. Or hearing what sound like... I don't think it's ghosts. It's clearly just acoustics. It's weird. It's weird, the house shifting and something pops. And, oh, that sounds like a footstep. But your brain associates that with a footstep and not with a house pop. I have several of my... I have a basement, as I've said before. So I have... My floor is just joists with some kind of subfloor, which I assume is plywood. But the house is old. It's over 100 years old. So there... The subfloor... I would really love to completely remodel this house and make it more modern. But also, the subfloor is bowed up in several spots, so places that I know of and some places that, you know. So anyway, you'll step on these clearly bowed up spots and of course you'll get a creak. And I know where the creaks are. There's one near the bathroom. There's a couple in the living room. There's one in the second bedroom. No big deal. But what's really fucking weird is when one of those spots creaks and you are sitting on the sofa with your cat, or worse, the bathroom is right next to the bed, more or less. So I hear this creak. I'm lying in bed reading. The cat's lying in bed with me while I'm reading. All the lights are off. It's just me and the Kindle. And then I hear a creak coming from the bathroom area, which sounds like someone walking through my house. And none of my cameras have gone off to alert me to intruder inside my house. But my first thought is, of course, to grab my gun and kill someone if they're in my house unwelcome. Truckin' and Tuckin' came over the other day, let himself in. I was standing there. I hear the door and I turn and I was like, oh, I almost pulled my gun on you, Truckin' and Tuckin'. Don't enter so stealthily next time. Anyway. But these weird acoustics, I'm sure everybody has them in their house, right? I remember the house that I last lived in with my mom. The house was a stud frame house with, you know, vinyl siding. And so in the wind, the house would shift back and forth. And the house faced mostly, I guess it kind of faced southeast, northeast. The front of the house faced northeast. The back of the house faced southeast. And my room was the northeast corner. Northwest corner of the house, I guess. And so, but it was a really long room that was almost the full length of the house. So the wind would blow and the house would shift in one direction or the other, and every single joist in the ceiling would pop. And it would be almost like a xylophone play where it'd go all the way down. And then the wind would come back and it would pop all the way back through. And you kind of get used to those sounds of the house you live in. When early on, they may freak you out. Like, I'm sure that didn't come through the microphone, but I think my gate's blown in the wind. Nice creaky gate sound. But it sounds like, because I'm wearing headphones, that it's inside this room, which is really freaky. It's really windy today. So you get these weird acoustics that will make sounds sound like they're coming from closer or further away. My cat was meowing at the back door, but it sounded like there was a cat trapped somewhere in the backyard. And I think this is why women believe in ghosts, right? Because they don't they hear a sound like that and they don't think about it logically and go, oh, that must be the cat at the back door. They're like, that must be a ghost cat, because there's no way the sound from inside my home could transfer outside my home. And you start to prescribe those things of like where you see a shadow as you turn your head and your brain processes it as a person. And then you look back and there's nobody there. Logically you go, oh, I'm just, you know, seeing things. But if you use a non-logical brain, you go, oh, that must be the ghost of the old woman who died here based on the research that I did on the internet about what happened in this house prior to me moving in. I think that's a fundamental difference between men and women. Men are always trying to find like the most simple and rational explanation for things that go wrong, whereas women are just happy to take like the most simple, right? Especially if it doesn't involve them being stupid. Like a man is like, my neighbor's hammering on something out there. It sounded like there was someone on my front porch. I should really get used to these weird acoustics. Yeah. Silly me. But a woman's like, no, that must be the knocking of the woman who was buried in the basement somewhere. And you're just like, what the fuck is the matter with you? Please? God. I don't get it. I don't get why our brains have to be so vastly different. And one set just has to cause us nothing but problems. You know, I don't know. Does anybody, I assume other people have this problem with the acoustics. The other one is talking. A lot of times, you know, I'll have my neighbor across the street, a couple people live in the house, and they'll be like, hey, be sure to grab milk or something, right? But I also think it is because I have a fully covered porch with big stone pillars and whatnot, the sound creates a reverberant field in the porch, which makes it sound louder than it should, you know, in the way we naturally understand how acoustics drop out over time. But what happens in a reverberant field is the sound reflects back at you and it sounds as loud or louder than the original source. So if I have a reverberant field going on in my porch, because it has a hard ceiling and these pillars and a concrete basin, and sound comes into that and bounces down, it sounds like it's very close. So someone saying like, hey, don't forget the milk across the street, now sounds like someone saying, hey, don't forget the milk, but on my front porch, which freaks me out. But I get up and look and I'm like, oh, there's people talking across the street. I never want to put myself in a place of complacency to where someone is actually on my front porch and I don't go look and then they come in the house and kill me. It's the reason why, even though 90% of the time when my camera goes off and alerts me on my phone, I check it just to see like the bug crawl across the lens or the shadow come go across the driveway, because the 1 out of 10 time when it's a maintenance man stealing my light bulb or a package being delivered, I'm happy to have my eyes on it. So I'm happy to get the false alerts. And I, you know, you can calibrate the settings. So I do try and calibrate the settings so that they're a little more dialed in for what I'm, so that I'm not getting a lot of false alerts, but I'm getting enough that, so anyway, I always go look because I don't want to be lulled into a false sense of security and then be murdered in my sleep. But, I don't know. Maybe that's my curiosity that comes into play. And maybe women are just like, yeah, it must be a ghost on the porch trying to get in the house. Like, yeah, that's the most rational explanation to all of this. So watching Unsolved Mysteries, there's a lot of ghost stories where it's about a woman who's like, yeah, there's lots of ghosts in this house. And there's like one guy. And the women always have these like very elaborate stories. And then they'll be like, here's the maintenance man of this haunted property. He's like, yeah, I got a funny feeling in the basement one time, and sometimes when I put my tools down, they're not where I left them. And it's like, maybe you put them down somewhere else. No, must be a ghost. That's the only reasonable explanation. Of course, you know, I moved into this house, I had a knife, I now no longer have that knife. Gotta be somewhere in this house. Probably ghost stole it. Not me just putting it somewhere and then not remembering where I put it. Must be ghosts. So anyhow, I guess that brings me to the middle of this minisode where it's time to say thank you to all of our patrons. I am the only host of this show that actually cares about you. Chaco, abandon you. Buck, abandon you. Tim doesn't want to come in because he doesn't feel well. Todd didn't even get told this was happening. So when you think about it, who should be getting all this money? That's right, me. All this money, all this hard-earned money that you give us for content, and these guys can't even bother to drag their asses off of the bed where they're pretending to be sick for 2 weeks so that they can come in here and sit in the studio and record 30 minutes of audio. 30 minutes of audio. Come on. One of the funny things is, so Tim is convinced that he has the Chinese election year virus. I think he probably just has a regular flu. And so anyway, we know that the day he had symptoms, first day he had symptoms. So the day he got it was the last day that he recorded. And so he should have been infectious and gotten Truckin' and Tuckin' and I sick on our Friday night when we had movie night and steaks. But Truckin' and Tuckin' nor I are sick. So either I have three hypotheses. Number one, he doesn't actually have the Chinese election year virus. He just has a regular flu. And if he does come back with a positive test, it's a bogus positive test, which they all are. Number two, I have Truckin' and Tuckin' and I have a pre-existing immunity to this virus based on the fact that based on some prior infection or just having a natural immunity because we have better immune systems. Who knows? My number three hypothesis is that I remember when I was sick in February, and I've said this several times, that was the Chinese election year virus prior to all the lockdowns. It was already in the United States. It was too late when we locked down. And if that's the case, then, you know, I'm immune forever. But I also think, you know, I spend a lot more time outdoors. I work on my car. I work on, projects for 100% fake news that's coming. I like to drive around with the top down. I go hiking, et cetera. I do things that are outdoors. And as we've seen, the vitamin D does a lot of good for your immune system. And so Tim does not spend a lot of time outside. He's very pale. He's paler than I am, and I'm very white, and he's very not white. So I just don't think his system is built to ward off diseases like mine is. They checked my DNA, and my DNA was USA. That's what Trump said, and that's what I'm saying. You can't infect me. I'm too powerful. I'm gonna have to be very, very old before you can take me down with some bullshit virus. So, and in any case, I want to say thank you to everyone who supports the show. It does mean a lot. It helps us. It helps me a lot more now than it probably did any time prior with, you know, I've made decent enough money working in my career field. And then I had a full-time job working in my career field. And, all that's been taken away from me by the cowards who don't give a shit about, who don't want to let other people make their own decisions. So, you know, in the summer there were a few shows that were happening, you know, bands were playing, and I was like, oh, okay, cool, we're gonna return to normal. But then nobody just, everyone's a follower, so they'll try this one little party, they'll try this one little thing, but rather than then continue to manifest destiny and just continue on to the promised land, it's like, well, no one told us we can go. You know, I don't see that walk, don't walk sign. So I guess we can't cross the road here. Like, no, we can, this is our road. Just fucking go. So that's all like really dried up. And, you know, here I am now sitting at home for several months, with nothing to do, overqualified, with a bachelor's degree and actually having a work ethic. And I'm competing with people who are, you know, have a fucking GED and are, all they want is $10 an hour. I have $10 an hour. Like, fuck you. I, $10 an hour, I make the equivalent of $11.35 on unemployment. So blow me with your $10 an hour. But those are, that's the only jobs that are available. It's crazy. It's crazy the way this has changed everything. And really like really punish the middle class, the people who work and try and stay ahead and live with a quality of life above just, you know, fucking eating peanut butter all day as their only source of food, 'cause it's cheap. And so I don't know. In a combination of my stubbornness and my pride and my unwillingness to bend on being told what to do, it's a not an easy time for people like me. So every dollar that you give us is actually hugely beneficial in my life right now. And not that I ever discounted it, but I do tremendously appreciate it. And I appreciate all of you, not just the money that you give the show, but giving me your time to basically take what's in my brain and put it into yours. And even if we disagree, giving people the time of your time is far more valuable than anyone really understands if they don't deal in time. I've dealt in time for so long. Everything in my life is framed around deadlines, and you have 12 hours to get 24 hours worth of work done, and knowing how to make that calculation, how it's going to happen. So I understand that the minutes that we give you in our time is actually worth far more when you spend your time listening. So I just want to say thank you for listening, and thank you even more for giving us your time, more of your time, in the money that you've earned out there. So let's get back into, now that I'm done with my fucking soapbox, what a douchebag. Here's my third mini issue for this month. Here's what I don't mini get. Had enough franchises. I watched Cobra Kai this week. I watched Cobra Kai because the first two episodes are free on YouTube, and I was like, you know what? This isn't half bad. So then I watched the rest of Cobra Kai by torrenting it because I don't have Netflix. And the first season's pretty strong. The second season is not as good. Here's the other thing. Everyone was talking about Cobra Kai, and we were really coming up on the line of, basically, once you tell me I need to watch something enough times, I just want never. Todd has been like, oh, you should watch. You watch Deadwood. Watch Deadwood. 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 Here's a clip from Deadwood. 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 I'm never gonna watch Deadwood, Todd. Never. There is no world. There is no chance in this world I'm watching Deadwood ever. And you know why? It's because you oversold it. The way you get me to watch a television show is a lot like the way Cobra Kai got me to gain its viewership. Everybody's talking about it. My dad was like, have you watched Cobra Kai? No, I haven't. That was pretty good. It's worth checking out if you ever get a chance. I'm listening to Man Cow. Man Cow's like, oh, Cobra Kai. I like Cobra Kai. It's pretty good. And I was like, oh, okay, there's another person. They're talking about it on Red Letter Media. They're talking about it on The Critical Drinker's talking about it. They're talking about it in Discords. I mean, everybody's talking about Cobra Kai, but no one's saying, hey, you gotta watch Cobra Kai, because you don't. You really don't. Like, it's a nice little series. If you like The Karate Kid, it's a nice nostalgia thing that's not, that's respectful of the source material and also elevates it. And does new interesting things, right? That's my high horse about Cobra Kai. But I watched Cobra Kai, and what I realized was that I thought I had watched the Karate Kid movies, but apparently I'd only watched the Karate Kid. So I finished Cobra Kai, and then I torrented all the Karate Kid movies. 1, 2, 3, the next Karate Kid, and the Jaden Smith one. And I'll get to that one, but starting out with The Karate Kid, it's a classic film. I remember my dad showing it to me when I was young, and it's you know exactly what the movie's going to be, but it does such a good job of telling the story that it's totally okay. That's what it is. And the characters are all interesting and likable, and there's a lot to get out of it. There's good life lessons. In any case, it's a great movie. It's a classic film. It's going to be around. We're going to be showing our kids The Karate Kid. It's going to be one of those movies that with Terminator 2, with Alien, it's going to be around forever because it is so good. So then I watched Karate Kid 2, and I remember the beginning of Karate Kid 2, which I thought was the end of Karate Kid 1. It's not. It's all its own movie. And I was like, well, maybe I did see this. And I made it about 10 minutes into the movie, and then I didn't remember a fucking thing else that was happening in this movie. And I was like, well, maybe I caught it on like AMC or TNT or something. And I watched The Karate Kid, and I started The Karate Kid 2, and then I like had to go do something. Because that's the only way I can explain how I've seen verbatim the first 10 minutes of The Karate Kid 2, but not the rest of the movie. So Karate Kid 2 is all right. It's about Daniel and Miyagi go back to Okinawa, where Miyagi fled because he had his best friend had an arranged marriage with a woman, and Miyagi loved the woman, and rather than have to fight the friend and kill him, he decided that he would leave so those two could get married and they could both live their lives. And it's okay. I mean, it's pretty much the same formula as The Karate Kid. Daniel learns a little bit more karate. It's fine. Then we get into Karate Kid 3, which is just fucking mind-blowing. There's a billionaire who's really upset that Cobra Kai did not win the All-Valley Karate Championship. The under 18 All Valley. So if you're not from Los Angeles, which I'm not either, but I know about Los Angeles, right? There's the Valley, and there's so Los Angeles likes to pretend that it's a bunch of different cities. It's not. It's all one big fucking city. But they break up into these different what they call themselves. So there's the Valley, there's the Highlands, there's the Inland Empire, there's the Coast. There's a couple more, but essentially, if you think about it as like if you live in a bigger city and you have the suburb, you know, for instance, Tulsa has Broken Arrow, Owosso, and whatnot. We refer to all of those as green country. Well, that's what the Valley is. It's Encino, Reseda, I think Hollywood. I don't know. There's a bunch of small cities. So basically what this under 18 All Valley Karate Championship is it's all the karate dojos in the region. And this billionaire is really fucking upset that Cobra Kai didn't win the All Valley that year. So he makes it his job to get revenge on Daniel-san. And the movie is really weird because number one, it's supposed to be happening a year after the first movie, but it's pretty clear that Ralph Macchio's like 30 now because he's really like ballooned up a little bit. And the movie is weird. Let me just say it that way. The movie is really weird. It's not very good. Daniel and Miyagi open a bonsai store for reasons. And then he meets a girl who works across the street, but they're not going to actually get into a relationship because she has a boyfriend. And then she just leaves. She just leaves. Like, Before the beginning of Act 3, she's gone. She's gone home to, I think, Ohio. She's gone. And then they have the big tournament, and I bet you can guess who wins. So then we get into the next Karate Kid, which stars Hilary Swank in the most unfathomable movie I have ever seen, where Hilary Swank goes to her grandfather dies. Her grandfather dies, so Mr. Miyagi was friends with the grandfather, so he goes and the grandmother goes to stay in Mr. Miyagi's house, so Mr. Miyagi stays in Boston with Hilary Swank as her babysitter. And there's a line in the movie, really early on in the movie, where the grandmother calls Hilary Swank the wrong name, her daughter-in-law's name, and then Hilary Swank turns around and yells at her, I'm not Susan. Susan is dead. My mother and father died in a car accident. They are no longer here. And it's just like, who wrote that? An alien? And the movie just gets worse from there. The school has a Gestapo. Everyone in the school looks like they're 35. It's high school. The Gestapo at the end of the movie blows a guy's car up. They bungee jump into the prom for no fucking reason. Nothing makes any sense. Hilary Swank gets kicked out of school, so Miss Miyagi decides to teach her karate by taking her to a Buddhist monastery. That's the plot of this movie. I told it out of order, but that's the plot of the movie. And then I watched The Karate Kid with Jackie Chan, where it's not The Karate Kid, it's The Kung Fu Kid, and the movie is co-produced by fucking China. So it's just all Chinese propaganda and Will Smith paying for his kid to look cool. And it's a piece of crap. They literally copy-paste the whole fucking third act of The Karate Kid and just plop it into this film. It is a piece of hot garbage. But it made me think of this mini issue of had enough franchises, because Cobra Kai is surprisingly good and has absolutely no right to be, because all of the Karate Kid movies suck after the first one. It's a linear slope of just bullshit as they just get worse and worse and worse and worse. And you get Cobra Kai, which is like, it's pretty much as good as the second movie. You're just like, where the fuck did that come from? But it makes me think of these franchises where it's just, we've got so much bad and not enough good. Disney now owns Fox. Disney is now talking about making another Predator movie. Another Predator movie. We are, and really Predator. I like the first one, and I like the second one, and I like Predators, and I like Alien versus Predator. And Alien versus Predator Requiem is interesting, but not great. But the Predator is so bad, and people don't like Predators, and people don't like Predator 2. So you got to just go, like, hasn't the franchise had enough? Haven't we had enough of these movies to just go, like, let's pack it in. No need to do anymore. Just make another movie franchise. Another great example, Terminator. With Terminator Dark Fate, we all know, like, they're doing another Predator in probably 2 or 3 years after fucking life returns to normal. They're going to make another fucking Terminator movie, and they're going to go like, this is a sequel to Terminator 2, but not the others. And it's going to suck. And it's just, no. We had 3 good Terminator movies. 1, 2, and 3. 3's a great film. If you don't like it, you're not smart. Even Terminator Salvation's pretty all right. Terminator Genesis, again, I did not. Terminator Genesis is not a good movie, but when I was in the theater watching it, I was enjoying the movie. I was like, I'm enjoying this. And then I got finished with the movie, and I turned my brain back on, and I was like, yeah, that wasn't good. And I have not watched it again. I watched it in theaters in with my dad. I think one of the mission, whenever it came out, we went and saw that in a Mission Impossible movie, and enjoyed it in the theater. And we got out of the movie, and I was like, that was all right. I mean, it didn't make any sense, but like, it was nice to see Arnold back again. And it was cool. The way they recreated the first movie was cool. And that's about it. But Terminator Dark Fate was a fucking stinking turd on the franchise. And really, I didn't like Salvation the first time I seen it. It's only in multiple rewatch that I've started to appreciate that movie. And I can see why people don't like the campiness of 3. So when do you just go like, they made the best one. They made the best Terminator movie. Terminator 2 is not, Terminator 2, much like The Dark Knight, is the best of not just being, okay, it's a great Terminator movie, it's a great robot sci-fi action film, it's just a great movie. It stands on the pantheon of great films. The Dark Knight transcends comic books to become just a great movie. And when do you just go, like, can't we just let it die? Just let it die, guys. We don't need another one of these. The Scorpion King films. There are like 11 Scorpion King films. There are more Scorpion King films than there are the Brendan Fraser Mummy films, which they spun out of. Let that sink in. I think there's 5. I think there's 5 Scorpion King movies. I think The Rock's in the first 2. I admittedly haven't seen any of them. Haven't seen one of them. But then they just became. So if you're into sci-fi and B movies, there's also like fantasy, sci-fi fantasy. There are a lot of movies where they like dress people up in Renaissance fair garb and then go film a movie in the woods. And then the movie's not good. That's what the Scorpion King franchise came to being. Like straight to sci-fi B movies that are not good. And then you watch and you just got to go like, haven't you had enough? Like, is there money? Is there blood to squeeze out of this stone? Like, I think it's just time to wipe your hands clean, because we have movies that come out like John Wick that come out of nowhere. It's a great movie. Eventually Keanu Reeves is going to be like 90 and it's just going to go, no, we don't need Rambo. Rambo, how many more fucking Rambo movies are you going to make? Now, he did the right thing with Creed, where we did Creed. So Creed is a spinoff of Rocky because he was like, I'm too old to do these movies and no one's going to believe a 75-year-old man fighting like a 30-year-old, because I think it was in Rocky Balboa. He fights like the current heavyweight champion and that guy breaks his wrist in the first round. And so it's just a cripple fighting an old man. Like, that's not drama. So he figured out how to like pivot it into making a new franchise out of it, which is pretty smart. But he also made The Expendables, which he ran into the ground. And I'll be talking about that on this week's episode with Uncle Buck. Can we not just say, okay, these franchises have had enough. Let's put them out to pasture. We don't need another Karate Kid movie. We don't need another Predator movie. We don't need another Terminator movie. We don't need a late life sequel to Chinatown. It's time to just let it go. Just let it. They're rebooting It's a Wonderful Life with that guy from fucking Saturday Night Live. It's a Wonderful Life is not a good movie. It's not a good movie. It's 4.5 hours long. You've seen it on every fucking show you've ever watched. They always do a Christmas episode where it's like, I wish fucking Richie Rich Christmas with Macaulay Culkin is a better version of It's a Wonderful Life than It's a Wonderful Life. And not to sound like a Philistine, but it's in fucking color. It's a Wonderful Life is not a good movie. We don't need a reboot of it. We don't even need the original. You watch that movie. The reason why people keep watching It's a Wonderful Life is because it's on TV this time of year. And they're just like, oh yeah, It's a Wonderful Life. I'll watch that for 10 minutes before I have to get up and go to do something. But if you sit down and you watch the whole thing, you realize it's a piece of crap. It's a piece of crap. We don't need another one. We got to just let this shit die. I kind of feel this way about the Avengers. This is the first year without a Marvel film since like 2009. I think it's time to just pack it in and just let her be done. No more, at least the MCU. Like, it's time to just let her go. Let it go. We're done. We're done. We've had enough. You did 26 movies. Most of them are the highest grossing movies of all time. It's time to just... Star Wars, another great example. Just time to pack it in. You, Kathleen Kennedy, you got handed the reins to this franchise, and you just fucking rode it like a screaming hellhound straight into a fucking wall. Absolutely unbelievable what they were able to do to Star Wars. And admittedly, I was out of Star Wars from day one of the Kathleen Kennedy reign. I was done. D-U-N-N. But surely there's enough soy boys and faggots out there who want to see fucking explosions and robots that you could have made $1 billion, $2 billion in the first one, $2 billion in the second one, $3 billion on the third one. Nope. And it's time to just go like, yeah, it's time to pack in Star Wars. Everyone's, oh, The Mandalorian is so great. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, but it's going to not be. It's going to not be. And that shoe has started to fall on this second season of Mandalorian. I've seen a lot more things where people are like, this shows, not the fetch quests. Like, yeah, yeah. I love being right about this kind of thing. We don't need more late in life sequels. Just let it pack in. The Ghostbusters, another great example. It's the Ghostbusters. It's a great movie. It's a classic. It's going to be around forever. Ghostbusters 2, not a good movie. Ghostbusters, Women's of Ghostbusters, bad, awful movie. Terrible movie. One of the worst movies ever made. This new Ghostbusters Afterlife, not going to be good. It's not going to be good. You know why? Because it has fucking kids in it. No one wants to fucking see kids. Nobody, except for pedophiles. Here's why. I'll finish up on this. The reason why no one wants to see kids in movies is kids don't like kids' adventures, right? You see kids have an adventure in a movie, and if it's too far-fetched, you're just like, there's no way that would happen. Where's their mom? You don't think that literally, but you unconsciously you think it. No, none of my friends were playing The Sandlot as kids, right? And as an adult, you're not stupid like a kid, right? So you watch the movie and you see kids do dumb things and you go, what are these kids, idiots? Which also doesn't work as a viewer. So, but kids like to see adults in movies because they want to be Iron Man, right? They don't want to be the kid in Iron Man 3. They want to be Iron Man because nobody tells Iron Man what to do. He gets to fly around and shoot lasers. No one wants to be the fucking kid in Iron Man who's like, you got to wait here, kid. Nobody wants to do that. That's why none of his fucking costumes were up as Halloween decorations. Nobody wants to be that same kid in Jurassic World. They want to be Chris Pratt. Because he's the cool guy, which is why his costume is a costume on the shelves at stores. So when I see this Ghostbusters movie is going to be about a bunch of fucking kids, I'm already checked out. I'm not a kid. I don't want, you know. Yeah, I want to be a Ghostbuster. I want to be Venkman. I want to be an adult man. I wanted to be Will Smith watching Independence Day as a kid. Watch that movie over and over and over again, because I thought Will Smith was the coolest fucking guy on earth. Men in Black too. He was so cool. That's who I wanted to be. It had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that he was a black guy and I was a white guy. He was the coolest character. That's who I wanted to be. I wanted to be Mace Windu when I watched Star Wars, because they were the cool characters. I didn't want to be Kid Anakin. I wanted to be Obi-Wan when I watched Episode 1. Kids don't want to be kids. Kids want to be adults. You know, my friends and I never got together. Now, girls are different. You know, my friends and I never got together and were like, hey, you want to play school? No. We want to play cool army guys that shoot bad guys in the fucking face. And also have swords because it's a completely impractical weapon, but it's cool as fuck. We want to play video games where we drive cars and blow shit up. Meanwhile, girls are like, we're going to play school. I'm the teacher. And it's like, no. You ever have you have your female cousins, right? And they're like, we're going to play school today. And it's like, you know what? I'm right on out of this. I did not enjoy school when I had to be there. And now that you're saying that it's a playtime activity, not interested. Well, that brings me to my fourth and final mini don't get for this month. And here, this is what I don't mini get. Cheap Band-Aids. Man, I fucking hate cheap Band-Aids. This episode is brought to you by Band-Aid Brand, the only Band-Aid that I buy. So I grew up not very... I grew up poor. And one of the things being poor is that my mom bought a lot of our supplies at the dollar store. So, we had cheap toilet paper. She would buy cheap fucking Band-Aids from the dollar store that have no stick. So it'd be like, I scrape to the point where I just didn't use Band-Aids for a long time because there's no fucking point. Like, oh yeah, put a Band-Aid on it right, and then up. And I'm going to go do something and it's right fucking off of me. So I buy Band-Aid brand Band-Aids because they stay on. I posted a picture on Twitter earlier this week, which is why I thought of this issue. So I was building the wall for 100% fake news in the basement and, the impact slipped off the screw and right into the fucking right above below my thumb on my palm, just like a big nasty hole. And so it, I was picking at it like, you know, you're not supposed to. And I was like, well, that was dumb. Now I have this hole in my hand again. So I went and got some Neosporin and stuck a Band-Aid over it. And then I took a picture of it because the Band-Aid does not match my skin tone. And I was under the impression that Band-Aids matching your skin tone was part of white privilege. And someone commented and was like, there's too much Neosporin. That Band-Aid's going to fall right off. And I was like, no, it's not, because it's a Band-Aid brand Band-Aid. It's been like 2 days, two showers. I've cooked dinner twice. I've made lunch. You know, I've washed my hands a bunch of times. And it's on my palm. I thought it didn't think it was going to stick on me for this long because it's on my palm. You know, it's a high traffic area. But it's still here. I think it's probably going to fall off tonight, is my guess. I'm not sure. But man, it just made me think about going back in life and all those cheap Band-Aids that I'd get put on and they just like fucking never stick on. And it just makes me wonder, what's the fucking point? What is the point of the cheap Band-Aid? Just go splurge and spend the extra, like, like the box of Band-Aids that I have. It was a box and it was like, I don't know, it's like 200 Band-Aids or something. But they're all different sizes, down from like the very small to the pretty big. And I want to say it was like $10. Like, just go fucking spend the extra $9 and get us some real fucking Band-Aids for the one time, you know, a month that we need one. Because the thing would be that, like, I'd have something that really needed. Like, I shot through my hand with a bow once. And the shot through the webbing of my left thumb because I was shooting with a bow. I was an archery instructor at a camp, and at the beginning of the summer, the bow was a pretty tough bow, but you spend all day every day teaching kids how to shoot archery with the same bow, and I got to the point where I had built up my strength, and I was overdrawing the bow, and so I overdrew the bow and didn't realize it before I let go that I had pulled the bow, the arrow, completely off the rest. And it was sitting behind my hand. So I realized it just as in my head, I had lined up my shot, right, at like my 80% pull. And then I pulled back the rest of the way and let it go. And so I pulled back the rest of the way. And when I realized that I had over pulled, I had already gone through the mental process of releasing the arrow. So the arrow hits my hand, goes through my hand and hits the handle, and then just snaps into a million pieces. I think it snapped into three pieces and just sent, I think those were carbon fiber arrows. No, they couldn't have been. They must have been like graphite or something. Who knows? I don't know. Who gives a shit? Maybe they were fiberglass arrows. But anyway, just like fucking shreds everywhere. This arrow sticking out of my hand. So I had to cancel that group's lesson and then go and get first aid. But anyway, I kept firing arrows for the week, and of course I'm firing over this spot where I have a Band-Aid, and I'm at home and I've got these cheap fucking stick-on Band-Aids that just won't stay on. So I think I ended up just duct taping my hand in order to keep the Band-Aids on. And I went through dozens of Band-Aids at home because it was a bad hole in my hand. I went through a box of Band-Aids when if I had just had Band-Aid brand Band-Aids, probably would have cost a lot, you know, I wouldn't have used as many Band-Aids because they would have fucking stayed on my hands. But, you know, my sister, so our family has Jewish ancestry, right? And when people don't believe my sister when she says she has Jewish ancestry, she likes to tell this story. My mom got a six-figure inheritance from my grandmother's estate, and she still buys one-ply toilet paper. Let that sink in. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of ways that I've learned from my parents and not in what they directly taught me or did, but learning to do not what they did. And things like skimping on shoes. One of the things my mom did that I don't do. I buy very expensive shoes because, you know, my boots cost me, I think they were like $220 or something with the tax and everything, but I've had them for over a year. They're the most comfortable shoes I've ever purchased. I bought those boots as is from the store, and I was just like, wow, these are incredibly comfortable. And then I put some nice comfort insoles in them when I hiked Mesa Verde that had like massaging nubs in them, and it made them even better. Plus, they have that fancy fastening system. Mom doesn't do that. She buys these cheap fucking shoes and then wears through them really quickly and then complains about her feet. It's like, get some fucking shoes with some arch support. Get some shoes that actually lace. Get toilet paper that is good quality. Buy quality meat. Buy quality Band-Aids. Don't do the minimum just because it's the minimum. Don't buy the cheap Band-Aids is like a small brick in the foundation of, it's not frugality. It's not frugal. You're not being frugal. You're being foolish, right? Being frugal is finding a good deal, but knowing to buy quality over quantity, buying quality over the cheap thing. You know, she did it with tools too. She'd buy these tools, these fucking tool kits, and then lose all the fucking tools or break the tools. I remember we did the AC compressor clutch on her van, which blew my mind because I was like, you know what comes with an AC compressor clutch? A new fucking AC compressor. So anyway, we redid this fucking AC compressor clutch, and it required, you need snap ring pliers to undo the snap rings. And she bought like the cheapest fucking $3 thing of snap ring pliers. So snap rings, you can have them where when you squeeze on the handles, so essentially what it is it's two pieces of metal that have been bent into an L, and there's a stud on the end that fits into a little hole on a snap ring. Good to Google it, right? And so your snap ring has two holes and they're right next to each other, and you put your snap ring pliers that has two nubs to fit in the two holes and squeeze it. And you can do it to where when you squeeze, they move together, or when you squeeze, they move apart. And good quality snap ring pliers, usually it's two sets, a squeeze to pull together, a squeeze to push apart. And this one were, they could do both by like swapping the way they were hooked together. And the fucking nubs broke off and the interlockers broke off to the point where I think we were down to one last one while we're putting back on the last couple of snap rings. And I'm just like, why don't you buy good tools? Buy a good tool and you only have to buy it once. You buy a shitty tool and you got to buy it every fucking time you got to buy new tools. I've been using the same ratchet driver head. I have a swivel head ratchet. I have a multi-pin socket. That's what I use for lighting. It's the fastest tool available. It's faster than any fucking lighting tool they sell you. I've been using that same fucking ratchet head for 7 years. I was carrying it to work every day. I have dropped it from 40 feet in the air and the thing still works because I bought a good one. I bought a decent quality one when I bought it. Buy good tools. Buy good Band-Aids. Buy good toilet paper. Don't do the bare minimum. Just because it's cheaper doesn't mean it's better. Just because it's expensive also doesn't mean it's better. But don't skimp just because you can. Buy good Band-Aids. Buy Band-Aid brand. It'll stick to your fucking, the palm of your hand for several days, despite getting wet, despite getting, you know, that's the thing about Band-Aids, like a good Band-Aid. This Band-Aid started out darker than my skin, and now it's a lot fucking darker because it's just like picked up gunk and shit from my life, which is kind of gross. But then I think about it, and I'm like, well, that gunk isn't getting into the hole in my hand, so must be doing something right. That's all the dirty shit you're touching every day that you're would be on that thing that would probably get infected and get gross because you were stupid and picked at it while you're watching TV instead of like, I don't know, fucking doing something more productive with your time. Don't buy the cheap Band-Aids. Don't skimp jumps just because you can. You know, I know it's hard. It's hard to afford the good thing. Especially right now, if you're hurting, you're hurting. I'm not going to say we're hurting because that shit pisses me off. If you're hurting, I get it. I get it. Sometimes I have to put the ethanol gas in my car. I don't like to do it. I've had the car almost a year now. I'm like 1 week shy of a year. And I put ethanol-free gas in it. But sometimes I get off the highway, I need gas, I'm driving a long distance, they don't have ethanol free. So, yeah, I got to do it. It's one tank. It's two tanks, three tanks. But when I get back at home, when I get back into town, or when I get to where I'm going, if I can find that place that has the ethanol free, I'm going to get the ethanol free because I know it's better for my car in the long run. I know that getting, I spent too much on Band-Aids when I bought this box of Band-Aids 3 or 4 years ago. But every time I get a Band-Aid out of there, I only need one. So if that box of Band-Aids lasts me 10 years, and instead of buying, because the other thing about those cheap-ass Band-Aids was over time, you know, they're sealed in a little paper envelope. Over time, the glue that sealed the paper envelope would just fall open, and you just have Band-Aids in the box. So now they're no longer sterile. So those Band-Aids had a shelf life. Band-Aid brand does not. Don't buy the cheap thing just because it's cheap. Buy the right thing for the job because it's the right thing. I feel like that's kind of where we are with masks, right? Masks were the cheap solution to the problem of admitting that they have no fucking idea what they're doing. Well, we can just put people in masks. Bandana. Everybody's got a bandana. Then we can pretend like, and we can let these restrictions slowly out rather than admitting like, oh yeah, we locked you down for no fucking reason because lockdowns don't work. But we live in a world of disposability and cheapness. That's why products aren't made in America anymore. Products aren't made in America because they cost too much. You know, it's a $10 difference between a fire extinguisher that's made in the United States and a fire extinguisher that's made in China. And you know what? There are 10 times as many of on the shelves, fucking Chinese fire extinguishers. It's cheaper to make the Chinese fire extinguishers that you can't refill because they just make them. They ship them over here, and then we got to fucking dispose of them. Versus the American ones usually have a valve where you can go get them refilled and replaced. That's not the way the world works anymore. That's pretty unfortunate. So do what you can. Buy good Band-Aids. It's one stone, but if it's one stone, it's a good foundation to start building from. That's my high horse. That's the mini-sode for this month. I hope you enjoyed this one-man rant-along with no outside opinions to come in and tell me about things that I didn't know or correct me on my mistakes and factual inaccuracies. Please leave a comment if you enjoyed this, or if you didn't enjoy it, if you were like, I never want to hear this happen again. And that way we know if there's ever a time where this can't happen, if it's better to just leave it undone. In your opinion, I'm happy to hear your opinion. So, or here's what I don't get. I'm Tad Burt. We'll see you next month.